Good morning, Kansas City. This is the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Tuesday, September 7th, 2021. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati with Jake Gutierrez. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate it. Yeah. It's game week. Finally, it is game week on the Border Patrol. Just a few games, a few days until we watch the Chiefs take on the Cleveland Browns at Arrowhead Stadium. Let's go. Remember, Thursday is Cowboys and Bucks. That gets things started. And then we wait for Sunday at 3:25 p.m. at Arrowhead Stadium. That's where they play. You shaking your head for in there?
Nothing.
Where do they play?
Arrowhead Stadium?
Yep. You right?
Bite my lip.
You ain't got to bite nothing. You don't have to bite anything, all right? Unless you want to.
I want to.
Do you really?
I don't know.
So we got lots of stuff to talk about, obviously. Salvador Perez is dragging us, kicking and screaming through this baseball season. Again, look, there's good pitching performances and everything else, but it's football season. But Salvi says, no, you're going to pay attention to baseball until the bitter end, and that's what we'll do. So we'll keep talking about the Royals and Salvador Perez as long as he keeps breaking records and making history. But the focus will be turned to football for the majority of, well, for the majority of the next several months. How about that? And even college football. What a weekend in college football was. It was so nice to have a full slate of games back. Write it down. Mark it down in your calendar. You're not going to see another weekend probably this year where Kansas, Mizzou, and Kansas State all win in the same weekend. I think that'll be the last one. And so, everyone, enjoy your good feelings and your positivity. Unless somebody wants to make a bold prediction, I'm going to guess that's the last weekend where all three local schools will be victorious. Anybody feel any different?
Probably not. Probably not. Maybe.
And it almost didn't turn out that way.
No.
Have to examine the schedules, but it's highly unlikely.
Close, yeah, well. It was almost unlikely this past weekend. But it happened, and so I don't think it'll happen again. I hope it does. I'm not guessing that it will. What are you looking at on the schedule there?
Well, I'm trying to. I want to see who everybody else plays in week four. K-State plays at Oklahoma State. That'll be a tough one. And I don't know who Missouri has in week four. Missouri plays at Boston College. They'd probably be favored in that one. So there's a possibility. KU plays Duke. And Duke lost to UNC Charlotte this weekend. So maybe, I don't know, maybe, like, maybe KU can win at Duke. It's probably the old, really? I'm not saying I would pick them, but if Duke lost, I don't know how good Charlotte is, but they lost to them, so maybe, you know, maybe.
Charlotte?
I think that's who they played in this week. UNC Charlotte? Is that
the Charlotte 49ers?
Yeah. I assume they're FBS? I don't even know.
No, come on, go on and say it.
I don't know. I don't know what they are. But I can't imagine that they're great. So maybe, I don't know, maybe there's a, I don't know, you know, grudge match between KU and Duke.
I need to investigate Charlotte football.
Looks like they are.
Yeah.
I mean, they're
Conference USA.
Conference USA. So not FBS.
Nate Bucati on college football.
Well, I mean, did you guys know a lot about Charlotte?
No,
I didn't.
I had to look it up. Conference USA.
Right.
But still, you know, maybe that's not as bad as losing to North or South Dakota would have been, obviously. But I'm just saying, you know,
FCS, yeah.
If you're looking for a possibility, maybe circle week four. That's all. That's all I'm saying.
Right.
But probably not. Probably all three teams won't win again.
Something tells me you have to walk that one back at some point.
Well, KU's probably going to be an underdog. They're only 27-point underdogs against Coastal Carolina this weekend, so.
Right.
Like I said, I think they'll be underdogs against Duke, but
highly unlikely, not impossible.
Yeah, I'm just saying there's a like you know, Lloyd Christmas. There's a chance.
I'm going to say no. Back to my original point. I think that'll be the last time this year. But it happened though. It's a point. It's good. It was fun to see all three local fan bases excited about.
I'll take 1,000-to-1 odds.
Well, let me know if you find them.
You want to give them to me?
Nope. No. I like my money too much. Now you got me obsessed with looking at the history of
Charlotte.
The recent records of college of Charlotte.
Nice little rabbit hole we just dove into.
Right. But they did beat Duke, like you said, so. By 3 points. So did you guys both watch the Kansas game?
Yes.
Yep, I did.
Did you watch it? You didn't watch it live because you were working. Did you watch it live?
I didn't, biting my nails.
Like, did you know they won when you watched it?
Yeah, I actually had an iPad on, so I kind of glanced over that every once in a while.
So it kind of hit different then.
So I knew what was happening.
You know, what I'll say about that was that quarterback came up with some big plays down the stretch because that very easily could have been a loss.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
He there's something to be said for... Because I feel like they lose that game every year the last how many years?
10.
Right. And so, yeah, every year the last 10. So there's something, and that, you know, the touchdown pass, I mean, everything, that every play that he made, so do you feel good that you found the quarterback?
I mean, yeah, I like the fact that... he made those plays, like the 4th and 10, obviously, was the play of the game, and you know he completes a pass to get a first down. I mean, I think they've got their quarterback for this year. But I'm not expecting like a big year from him statistically or anything like that, and I'm not expecting him to lead the team to a bunch of wins or anything.
Those were a couple of big moments, though, with the game on the line, and he came through, and that very easily could have been lost to
for sure.
South Dakota.
Yeah.
That was an ugly football game, but it was beautiful when you win it, right?
Right.
The way they won it. Kansas State looked incredible against Stanford, but here's the thing that throws a monkey wrench into when you're trying to figure stuff out early in the season. We don't know what Stanford is. They could be awful. They could end up being a bowl team. Who knows? But the point is, Kansas State... went to a neutral site where they had way more fans. It was a disappointing crowd down there, it looked like. But, you know, I didn't think anyone anticipated Stanford traveling down to AT&T Stadium. But K-State dominated them. Regardless of whatever Stanford turns out to be, that's all you can ask from Kansas State is to dominate another Power 5 school. And that's what they did against Stanford, so you have to feel great. And that's very, very important because you talk about upcoming schedules. K-State, their upcoming schedule, the first half of their schedule, is as tough as anyone's in the nation. And so to be able to get that win under their belt, that was huge. We talked about that with Stan Weber, and Gary Barnett really was the first one that pointed that out and said, man, you got to look at K-State's schedule because the way things are set up, they need to have some early success before they start to get into the teeth of that schedule. Now, coming up, they should beat Southern Illinois. Nevada is better than I think some people anticipate, but I'll take K-State at home against Nevada. But then, like you said, at Oklahoma State, then they host Oklahoma, then they host Iowa State, and now at Texas Tech, if you want to just judge by what happened the first week, Texas Tech looked pretty good. Iowa State looked beatable, but it seems like they always had that first game or whatever. Put my money on Matt Campbell to have that thing rolling by the time they take on Kansas State. And Oklahoma had their hands full with who?
The Green Wave.
Yeah. Jake, who's their head coach, had them raring to go and almost pulled the upset in Norman.
Oh, man.
Tulane.
the guy I wanted KU to look at him hard. What?
Willie Fritz.
Fritz, Mr. Fritz.
Willie Fritz.
Damn good coach.
He almost pulled that off, and I was rooting for him.
I think we all were, right?
Mm-hmm.
I think we all were.
Well, that's, you know, before Kansas landed on Lance Leipold, that's who I suggested that Kansas hire. So, well, yeah. That would have been a nice feather.
I think there were a lot of Kansas fans that wanted them to look that way.
Really?
Well, I know first person that I heard mention that name was Rustin Dodd. So what do you think about this old Willie Fritz?
Our boy Mike DePasquale threw him out there as during the middle of football season last year.
Damn fine coach. I guess we see why.
Came up a little short, but still. So Oklahoma.
Didn't expect it to be that close.
Right, but that's, you know, and that's dangerous to say, well, Oklahoma looks beatable. Iowa State looks beatable. But so that's a tough schedule for Kansas State. So that's why that was a really big win. Good stuff to start off 1-0 with a dominating win against Stanford. And as for Mizzou, that was a tough game against Central Michigan. Again, I don't know how good Central Michigan is. They had a transfer quarterback from Washington, but the game is close. And then Mizzou was able to run the football down their throats and ultimately come up with some big turnovers and just end up gutting out a win against Central Michigan. It's a MAC school. And then we'll find out real quick about Missouri because now they go to Kentucky. That's a big, big game for Mizzou. People want to focus on all these other schools like Florida and Georgia and Tennessee, and I get that. Those are the bigger names in their division, but one of the things that got Barry Odom into trouble was his inconsistency and inability to beat Vanderbilt on a regular basis, and he couldn't beat Kentucky at all. And Eli Drinkwitz came in, beat Kentucky in his first crack, and this would be a good, loud statement that Mizzou has elevated their program above Kentucky. And look, Kentucky's not bad under Stoops. They've been a good program under Stoops. And they had slipped past Mizzou as far as the hierarchy in the SEC East. But Eli Drinkwitz hopefully turned that around and they can go to Kentucky. That would be a huge win to start off 2-0 and have a road win in the SEC and a team that they've struggled over the past several years at separating themselves from. And again, that's one of the big things that got Odom in trouble. But I thought Mizzou, Connor Bazelak looked good. One thing, if you watch that entire game, there was at least, I want to say, three or four long passes that were just absolutely on the money from Bazelak that his receivers didn't make the play on. And so his numbers could have been a lot better. And that win could have been more comfortable had they been able to connect on one of those big plays. Or at least, I mean, they could have connected on all two or three of them, but he threw a pretty deep ball. One, it was his fault where he missed. But there was a couple of them that the receivers could have made a play on. But overall, again, week one, you don't apologize for winning. We don't know how good these teams are. It's kind of a crapshoot. We don't know what Stanford's going to be. We don't know what Central Michigan's going to be. South Dakota is South Dakota, but it doesn't matter. You win. All you got to do is win early on and let things fall where they may. So that was a good opening weekend for Kansas, Kansas State, and Mizzou all to get wins on the board. But this week should be a lot different, right? Coastal Carolina, they're ranked. Like, what did you think of them last year when they played them? Little did we know how really, really good they were, right?
Mm-hmm.
Top 25 football team. K-State shouldn't have any problems against Southern Illinois. And then Mizzou, that should be a hell of a battle between Mizzou and Kentucky on the road. So we have those. And what, the Kansas game's on Friday night again, huh? What's going on?
Yeah.
What's happening with that?
I assume they're doing it to get on TV and all that.
So is that Coastal Carolina's decision?
Or I don't know who decided that. I assume they decided it together, but I don't know.
Right, because they'd be the draw. They're the top 25 team.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just curious, back-to-back Friday night games. You like that?
I would assume it's a home team. I mean, ESPN as well. But, I mean, if you're...
I'm sure you have to agree on it at some level. You know, I mean, I don't... I, They can't just tell you, hey, we're going to play on Wednesday. Be here, you know. But I wouldn't think, but...
They might be able to.
Maybe that's in their contract, is you're going to play whatever day we say.
Right. ESPN probably dictates the majority of that. It's on ESPN2.
I think we realize ESPN calls all the shots in college football. So.
For my purposes, I like it. It's like I'm just to be honest with you, I would not have found a way to watch Kansas South Dakota on a Saturday afternoon had that happened last week. But I did watch a large chunk and almost all the second half of that game on Friday night because it was Friday night and there wasn't really much else as far as college football. But Saturday that would have got lost in the shuffle.
Yeah. I don't love it. I'd rather see high school football on Friday nights, get the center stage. You know, I was actually going to take my son to a high school football game this Friday night, and I'm not sure what I'm going to do. But
you didn't want to watch Kansas?
Oh, he's a middle school kid, and he wants to go try to hang out with his middle school buddies, you know.
Right. And you're going to go with him?
Well, somebody's got to drive him there.
Yeah.
So I could sit and watch a high school football game while they go do whatever middle school kids do at a high school football game.
Right.
But I don't know. Yeah. Maybe we'll just save that and we'll watch the KU game. We'll go to a high school game some other time.
Yeah.
I'm not dying to watch it, honestly. Like, I'll watch because I want to watch the way the team maybe improve. I think there's a chance they could improve a lot through the course of the year because Leipold's only been there for a couple months, you know, since he was such a late hire. So maybe they can get better. But they opened up as like 27-point dogs to Coastal Carolina. It's like it's down like 25.5 last I saw. The point is, like, not expected to be within 4 touchdowns.
Right.
So, I am not going to be impatient. I believe in Leipold. It's going to take him a while. So, it's hard to get too excited about.
Hey, they won Friday.
1-0, baby.
Yeah, man.
If you're not going to get excited now, then when are you this year? You know?
Well, yeah. I mean.
Live it. Feel it. You won. Enjoy it all week. So, big football weekend we got coming up. We have football Friday. We have Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Get your lineup set, Nate. Thursday night.
Oh, dude,
What? Is that thing done?
I think I have a decent roster for that team. But then I had my first auction draft ever on this weekend, and it went about as well as you guys might imagine.
So, it went great.
For all the other guys in the league, it did.
Who's the highest dollar play you spent on?
Kelsey.
There you go.
I was engaged early. The problem was, to me, like, wasn't early. I was engaged early, and then I lost interest, and
thing with auction,
the end game.
You got to pay attention to every pick.
That's the whole thing.
It's the end game. I sit on my money usually, and you can get steals at the end.
What my plan was. So I was like, you know what? I'm not going to bid on anybody for a while. So I walked away from the computer, and I was watching college football, and I wasn't paying too much attention.
Away from it?
Well, I had it on, but I wasn't looking at it or anything. Because I'm not going to bid on anybody for a while, and I was watching college football, and then I turned on my auto thing, and all of a sudden I turned around, and I had $6 left, and like six players to go.
No.
And I was like, I didn't bid on anybody. What's going on here?
I hope you take this the right way. I would throw you out of my league.
Oh.
For either of the things that you did.
I
wouldn't. My league would throw you
right
out of there.
The guys in this league, because I was a late addition to this league, and
would your league accept this?
No.
I don't want to be in. I told them, I was like, you guys deserve cares. I was bait and switched, okay? I was invited into a league that was a regular draft, that was relatively low investment. I don't want to spend that much time on this stuff. I don't care enough about
it. What are you doing it for?
I like having some players. And I like being able to get together with my buddies once you're on a draft.
But that's
why I like to do it.
Screwing them over, then, if you're not going to take it serious.
Well, they all switched it to an auction draft this year, and I voted against that.
Or is it?
Yeah, right. They get to all win and, you know, laugh at
my don't like that.
No, I don't.
I got to have everyone engaged.
I told them. I was like, you guys deserve somebody else. Find somebody else for the league next year. Because I did not sign up for an auction
draft. I love auctions.
I do, too.
I know you guys do. It's your thing, and that's cool. And I wish I liked it more, but I just don't care enough.
Like in one league, I sat for, like, to your point, for 4 hours.
Oh,
yeah, grinded
before I made one bid.
Yeah, then it's like people, then you know their max bid, and they're like, they bid their max, and you're like, nope, I know you want that guy, and I have all this money, and I'll just go $1 over you.
And man, I couldn't imagine doing that online either.
I've done baseball online.
So bored.
See, I would be bored doing it online, but the enjoyment for me is I get to see 10 of my friends or 9 of my friends that I don't get to see at all all year long.
I don't mind doing it online.
And so then we get like a big boardroom or someone's house or whatever, and I get to see them.
We do a conference call. We're all on a conference call.
Then the smart-ass comments in between the bids, and then we order some great food.
Now that sounds like fun.
Somebody makes some food.
Yeah.
And it's like 10 hours that I spend with guys that I've known for some of them 30 years, but I don't see them except for that point of the year. And we have fun, and we make fun of people repeatedly over and over again for stupid bids or whatever else. But everyone's engaged, but you're there.
Right.
You have no choice. There's no walking away from the table.
Right.
And so I couldn't do that online.
Yeah, if it was in person, I think I would have had a lot more. I would have been engaged because somebody would have said, hey, man, your auto bid's on or whatever, you know.
No, I don't blame you.
I don't stare at a computer for 3 hours straight looking at numbers. I mean, that wasn't fun to me. So.
No, my auctions last like 8 hours, eight or nine. But you're there.
Right. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, so my teams suck.
I think your attitude might suck.
Well, that's fair.
If you go into it, I think, with a better attitude, maybe you would have had better results.
That's what a lot of them said to me. Because I was against this auction thing all along, and then, you know. It's like, I have to pay attention to every pick.
When you think it's going to suck, it's going to suck.
See, because I just feel like, why are you doing this? You're even talking about how much you hate it.
Well, like I said, I didn't sign up for an auction draft. I got asked to join this league by an old friend of mine because they had lost a guy.
Do you have a spot open in your auction for Nate to come?
No.
I don't want any more fantasy teams. Trust me. You know, like I like having maybe one or two.
The auction I do is it's down at I don't know if I should say the
you
name
should,
of the company.
Absolutely. People would love to hear it.
They have a media room, and they have an auctioneer, and they got the bids on the board.
What's
and we
the company?
Order. I'm not going to say it. It's Lockton. We go down to Lockton, and we do it.
Boy, you really
put
up a...
Oh, I can tell you that they do not want their name put out there. I'm on a couple of board of directors with people from Lockton, and they do not like that mentioned whatsoever.
Specifically said, never talk about fantasy draft stuff.
Cornell, my buddy Cornell was down there.
Well, that was a nice league you were in.
Yeah. No, those guys listen, they probably love it.
Oh, of course they love it.
They want to invite me into their league now.
No, they don't.
Easy money.
You keep that Bucati guy out of here. No, it's and so that's where they have an auctioneer, and we order pizzas, and it's a great time.
Does the auction have a gavel? Sold! Or so like a real auctioneer, like one of the Nigro brothers?
No, I mean, we pay. It's someone who has nothing to do with the league.
10, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20, 20 It'll come out of the out of the pot. Yeah. Well, like the Nigro brothers, they don't want to do it. And you got Salvador Perez, they had 10 and 11 and they had 20 and 20. Yeah, this would be great.
Anybody, are you done?
It would probably be great for about half an hour.
Right. Yeah.
And then the auctioneer would be pissed. And we'd
8 hours
be mad,
of that
right,
would be a lot.
No, I got my bid in, man. But no, over here, no.
I got lots of good ideas nobody wants to take part in. But that's fine. We'll take a break. When we come back. I don't know what we'll do. Talk about billions. Talk about Salvi. Talk about the movie I saw yesterday that you should go see.
I didn't.
It was so good.
I need your password.
I went to the movies.
Did you?
I texted it to the group. You don't listen. You don't read text messages.
I was busy doing yard work.
I saw this Legend of the Ten Rings. Let me tell you something.
Oh, did you go see it?
Let me tell you something.
Wow. Did you go see it?
Yes, I went to see it. Wow.
Yeah, right?
Wow.
That is a movie. I almost went and saw that this weekend, too.
Wow,
dude. Is that the Marvel one that's out?
Yeah.
I heard it's good.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like the dummy that kind of, I look at Rotten Tomatoes. Oh, it's getting 90%. Oh, that's fresh. Let me look at these other. Everyone's loving it. Dude.
Yeah.
I knew the kids would love it for sure. And I went in there and said, I'll probably like it. Wow.
They know what they're doing.
I was mad when it was over. It was like over 2 hours. I said, give me another 2 hours of this. I'm here. Let's go.
The Marvel Universe,
let's just
baby.
Keep it on going.
Mm-hmm.
That was one hell of a movie, Jake. I thought about you. I said, when this kid sees this movie, he's going to be through the roof. You're going to love that movie. Wow. I always overhype movies so much in my mind when they exceed expectations. This damn thing was fantastic. just from beginning to end, not one point was I like, eh.
I almost went and saw it Friday, but then KU game was going on.
Well, that's something good. Go see it.
I will.
Like, do not wait. Get that in your brain immediately. You take your kids. Man, your son would love it. The twins loved it. That was so much fun. Susan loved it. Everyone loved it. You'd have a blast watching
that. I'm not
going to
see that Saturday.
And you'll take your son out there, and you'll be out there, you know, well. My girls
some guy's talking trash on Jake's auction abilities in baseball.
Wow, this is great. This is a great start to Tuesday.
Yeah, it is, Sal. He said you're in last place in the auction league.
I'm not, dumbass. I'm in 10th.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got lots to bring you today.
Dumb mother. I'm not in last.
And the Chiefs
jumped my way out of last place.
I'm in 10th. They're just a few days away. This is how excited we are about crazy stuff on the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Yeah, well, I mean, listen, it's the first game, and it's 1-17. So it's as important as the rest of them. It's just it's happening now, and there's nothing before this that's gotten you to this point. So there's unknowns. I mean, there's unknowns. If you're on the offensive side of the ball, what's the defense going to do? If you're on the defensive side, what's the offense going to do? What are the new looks on special teams that they're going to throw at you? So there's a little bit more unknown than you would have as you get through the third and fourth game of the season. So that's a part I get excited about. Like, you get your juices going. Plus you're getting to start the season. I mean, that's always exciting. And here we get to start it at home, which is great.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Oh boy, there's a couple of there's a couple of tweets going around about the Raiders on Twitter that are not very complimentary of the job that Mike Mayock has done as GM. Jake, that had you a little nervous when the Raiders hired him, didn't it?
I mean, I liked the hire, but I also liked him because I liked his draft analysis, and I thought he always was on top of covering the draft, but that
turns out I like to hire too for different reasons.
Doesn't translate apparently.
So there's one tweet going around. Paul Hembikides, I believe, content producer on ESPN Radio, tweeted that the Raiders rebuild was centered on 5 first round picks, 2019 and 2020. I have they collected all those first-round picks. Those first-round picks resulted in Cleveland Farrell, Josh Jacobs, Jonathan Abram, Henry Ruggs, who they took at a CD Lamb. I'm sorry. And Damon Arnett. And then he writes, they blew it. They blew it. They blew it. Everyone was afraid of those 5 first-round picks. They blew it. And I don't want to hear you on the other side of the glass say Josh Jacobs is good because that's a running back in the first round. And you can't wait to take a crap on that. So you take a crap on it when Mayock does it.
No, I'll take a crap on it every day of the week.
Who do they bring in? And he's not, you know.
A lot of craps.
They bring in Drake? Kenyon Drake?
Yep, Kenyon Drake.
You know?
He's a damn good backup. If not, a one B player.
Maybe they could trade a couple of those guys for Khalil Mack.
I already tried that.
And so, and then Dan Orlovsky said, John Gruden is not on the hot seat for the Raiders. Derek Carr is not on the hot seat. Mike Mayock is.
Why does it have to be one of the three? Why can't it be all three?
I don't know, because I want them to all stay. I'd like him to just stay
forever.
That's a good point.
I don't want anyone to be on the hot seat.
Very, very sound point there.
I want everyone to stay, because they're 2020 third-round pick, Tanner Muse was just cut yesterday after playing a total of 0 games for the Raiders since he was the third-round pick in 2020. They had 3 third-round picks in 2020. Brian Edwards had 11 catches as a rookie. Lynn Bowden is out of the franchise, having played no games for them. And Tanner Muse played 0 games for them, and they cut him, so. That's how the cookie crumbles, I guess. We'll take a break back after this on WHB.
Hey, Coach, I know that Clyde and Darryl were just a little bit banged up toward the end of camp, and that last preseason game didn't really see them. So I was just curious, your expectation that they'll both be 100% to go for Sunday?
Yeah, so they practiced this past week and did a nice job with it and looked like they're moving around pretty good. So I think we'll be okay there.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Let me get back to that. The Raiders real quick. There's one other tweet I wanted to read for you because I like it. Josh Dubow from the Associated Press tweeted, Mike Mayock, back when he had 3 third-round picks before the 2020 draft, this was his quote. 3 picks in the third is just like stealing. If we're doing our jobs the right way, hopefully, that's 3 more starters. And so, see, but now, and that was 2020. And now it's 2021, and 2 of those 3 third-round picks aren't with the team anymore. So I just, you know, it's really, it wasn't like stealing.
And it doesn't sound like they got starters.
Well, they're not, yeah, they're not there, so they won't.
Sounds like they got fleeced.
Right. And so here's what the Raiders, so he goes on. Boy, Josh Dubow went in on the Raiders yesterday, and I was here for it. I'm retweeting and liking. Huh. Here's what the Raiders did in the third round the first 3 seasons under Gruden. 2018, Brandon Parker, backup tackle. Arden Key, cut after 3 years. And they traded a pick for Martavius Bryant. That basically gave away pick, right? In 2019, they took their third-round pick and traded it for Antonio Brown. So right there, they took 2 third-round picks and set them on fire for former Pittsburgh Steelers receivers.
Well, Antonio Brown ended up going on and won a Super Bowl.
Well, it would have been great for them had it been with the Raiders.
Martavius Bryant's a stud with the Toronto Argonauts.
Okay. Do you think that they got their money's worth trading 2 third-round picks for those 2 guys?
Not really.
Okay, all right. And then 2020, Lynn Bowden, 0 games. Remember, they flipped him before they even had a chance to get anything out of him. Brian Edwards, 11 catches as a rookie. And then Tanner Muse was what they call a surprise cut yesterday. As Tom Pelissero tweeted out, the Raiders are waiving linebacker Tanner Muse. Muse was a third-round pick out of Clemson in 2020, missed his entire rookie season because of a toe injury, but took starter reps throughout camp and was a core special teamer. And why am I, it's football, we're having fun here, right? And this is just a reminder, if you want to bitch about the Chiefs not keeping Darwin Thompson, right, or letting go of Cornell Powell and bringing him back on the practice squad, don't complain about that. You go ahead and look at what the Chiefs have done under Brett Veach in the drafts and even under Dorsey. You look what this train wreck is. What this, that is a train wreck. They Raiders. Had all this draft capital, and people already called it. They blew it.
Raiders.
Like, when you get the returns that quickly, they blew it.
Raiders.
Well, like, Mike Mayock didn't really have much experience as a front office exec before he got that job, did he?
Hey, this guy was on NFL Network.
I know he grew up in a football household. I think his dad was like a legendary high school coach or something like that. But, I mean, I remember...
They blew it!
For a long time watching him, and I thought he did do a great job on the NFL Network stuff. And it made you think, oh, this guy must have been a GM at some point in time. But... I don't think that then, like, when he got hired. Am I wrong about
no,
that?
No,
Jake?
No. He's never been in
He called Notre Dame games?
Right, no.
He did, too, call Notre Dame
games.
No,
yeah, he did. No, but he's never. This is his first front office.
So first job. Front office job is GM?
Yeah.
Like, huh, wait, shocking.
Stop laughing.
He Rickers. Called Notre Dame games.
Well, there you go. That qualifies you to be the general manager of an NFL team.
Dude, he had the best breakdowns of the NFL draft.
It just really good. Really good. That doesn't mean you know how to run an organization.
I just kind of got like people complaining. Oh, Darwin Thompson. Look at what the Chiefs have drafted over the past couple of years versus that caca. Remember, people were nervous about that. Oh, look at all the draft picks they got. And here comes Mayock. Oh, boy. That was great. I like that. I like the Mayock experience.
You don't think an 18-year broadcasting career, you don't think that
maybe
qualifies you for,
I don't know,
general manager of an NFL franchise?
I mean, if Raiders. You took a guy, I don't
Sounds
know.
Like
I get
they hired the right guy.
What?
Never worked in an NFL front office before. Let's have you run so an what? Entire NFL front office.
Raiders.
Boy, your standards a little through the roof there, buddy.
I mean, I talk about it on TV a lot. That qualifies me.
We'll be right back after this on WHB. And so to my point, and yes, Raiders. The story has yet to be told, but to give Raiders. You an example of what the Chiefs have done the past couple of years, right? Now, 2018 was of the four of each drafts, the least impressive, at least on paper. But, so Breland Speaks got hurt, and he's gone, so that was a bust of a pick. But Derek Nnadi, the third-round pick, the Raiders would very much like to get a third-round pick that would be as good as Derek Nnadi. That's a starter. And Dorian O'Daniel still hanging on as a special teams contributor. Armani Watts is the fourth safety. And so they still have those players out of the 2018 draft. Wasn't a great draft for Veach overall. But 2019, a lot is left to prove this year, Nate Bucchietti. But on paper, Mecole Hardman's a starter. Juan Thornhill is expected to be an important contributor. Colin Saunders, important contributor. Rashad Fenton, important contributor. Nick Allegretti, quality depth, who started several games with the Chiefs. Last year, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, starter. Willie Gay Jr., when he's healthy, starter. Their third-round pick, Lucas Niang, starting at right tackle. Legarius Sneed, starter. Starter, 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 starter. 1, 2, 3, 4. Raiders are like, huh?
Raiders!
And then the fifth-round pick, Michael Dana, who's the number one backup at defensive end. And hell, even this year, they already got two starters out of the draft. Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith. And Nick Bolton on the way. And where are the Chiefs picking compared to the Raiders?
Raiders!
That's what I'm talking about. Back into this on WHB. Thank you for watching us on 38 The Spot. Coming up, we're going to talk to Jamie Bluma in studio. Talk some baseball with Bluma and some other things. Matt Derrick at 8:05 from ChiefsDigest.com. Former Chiefs wide receiver Mark Boerichter at 9:05. All that and more coming up right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.